Yes, Nitsa. Yeah, Israel is a world leader in cyber technology, and it's home to some 420 cybersecurity firms. We had 12 of the most innovative ones visit Sydney and Melbourne last week, part of a cyber roadshow hosted by the Israel Trade Commission in cooperation with Australia-Israel Chamber of Commerce and the Israel Export Institute. So I was lucky enough on their launch night in Sydney at Ernst & Young's headquarters to pop in and meet some of these people. I spoke to three of them. One of them, Stuart Fisher, is from a company, Israeli company called Deep Instinct. Now, this company is the first company to apply to use artificial intelligence and virtual neural network technology to protect businesses from the most advanced cyber attack attempts. And it's all fully automated. And what Stuart Fisher said was that it's able to detect even unknown malware attacks with an error rate of only 0.01% in real time. And he said, of course, when you think of artificial intelligence in cyber defense, the first thing you think of is Tel Aviv. There's a company called Cyberbit, which is part of Elbit Systems, and its director in Australia, Philippa Werdemann, said its current focus is on providing cybersecurity training programs. Now, she said there's a big cybersecurity skill shortage in Australia. There's some 11,000 jobs in this field which is being unfilled. And she said it's going to be a continuous challenge and training is the key. And finally, senior scientist Dr. Nathan Weiss from Elta Systems, a subsidiary of Israel Aerospace Industries, which of course makes technology with contributing to parts of the missile detection system in Israel, Arrow, and also Iron Dome. So he said this company has a big cyber sector arm, which employs 15,000 people in Israel, and many of those are the leading experts in cyber in the world.
It's interesting, Shane, because cybersecurity is a growing concern to all of us because of identity theft and all sorts of cybercrime. So you want really to keep your computer secure. And I'm not just talking about institutions like banks and other organizations. I'm talking about private people that need to actually guard the security on their own computers. And we're talking to Shane Desiatnik, senior journalist at Australian Jewish News. Well, a new kosher restaurant on the kosher scene in Sydney.
Yes, Nitsa. For the first time in 10 years, Sydney will have a new fleishig kosher restaurant at Bondi Beach. It'll replace the existing Glicks at Bondi Beach. It's called Laffa Bar. And Laffa Bar, if you live in Melbourne, you've already enjoyed this restaurant for many years. It's very, very popular. Its owner, Reuven Nahum, has selected community kashrut to provide the hersha.
I think the reason is because the meat comes from Melbourne.
Yes.
The local kashrut authority will not give a stamp on meat that comes from Melbourne. I think that's been an issue all along.
Yes, so Nahum said the Kashrut Authority won't do that. He wants to keep his customers in Sydney and Melbourne to enjoy the exactly same meats, the same ingredients, the same taste. And he said all of them are the same. And in Melbourne, the community Kashrut provides that hersha. So he's chosen to use the same one. And he also said that was the main reason, but he also said, in his words, the other thing was the high cost of the mashgiach and the high cost, he says, that the KA charges. So he says if anyone doesn't like it, it's their choice. He can't do anything about it, but he hopes everyone will come on board and enjoy this lovely new restaurant and what it's got to offer.
Shane, a different topic altogether. I'm a bit concerned on what is happening in Australian campuses. I think universities across Australia set to host Israel Apartheid Week events. What is this all about?
Yes, Israel Apartheid Week events are going to be held at universities all over Australia. Meanwhile, the Australian Union of Jewish Students is preparing to launch its own campaign next month called Reclaim the Z Word, Z for Zionist. The ORJ's National Chairperson, Saul Burstyn, said the campaign will aim to educate people about Zionism through the dissemination of diverse perspectives. He said through such discussions, The aim is to strive to encourage Orgy's members to take pride in their Zionist identities and feel more confident discussing Zionism openly, particularly on campus. Now, this Israel Apartheid Week will be staged across campuses. Two of the events will feature, quite disturbingly, Palestinian-American activist Huwaida Araf, who has drawn fire for past statements in which she has endorsed violence against Israelis. So she'll be speaking at the University of Western Australia and also the University of Sydney. The Anti-Defamation Commission Chair, Davir Abramovich, said Araf has consistently slandered Israel and has advocated for its boycott and expressed support for Palestinian violence and armed struggle. He said there is a potential that her talk will increase the climate of hostility against students.
We're talking to Shane Dziatnik, senior journalist of the Australian Jewish News. Shane, there is a teacher or a former teacher was charged in court.
Yes, so this former teacher was at Emmanuel School. His name, we can say, is Paul Benjamin. He'll face court for the first time in May on in relation to child sex charges stemming from alleged incidents in the early 2000s. He's 48 years old. Some of the charges include disturbingly sexual intercourse with a person under the age of 10 and several other charges. In a letter sent out to Emmanuel School alumni on March 13, the principal, Andrew Watt, said police had informed the school that there was no suggestion any assault occurred during school hours or on school grounds. Mr. Watt said Paul Benjamin left the school in 2009 and has had no contact with the school since, and the school has not been involved in the investigation. Police have told the school that there was a pre-existing relationship between Benjamin and the alleged victim's family. In a statement, the police spokesperson said, in 2016, Rose Bay Police received reports of a number of historic child sexual assaults which allegedly occurred in the late 90s and early 2000s, and then in 2017, the then 48-year-old man was arrested and charged with multiple counts of sexual assault. And the matter, as I said before, been listed for trial before Sydney District Court on 14th of May.
Malka Leifa, what's the latest?
Yes, so the latest with Leifa is she'll remain in prison until a decision on her extradition is made after a judge said last week there is no place to trust her. Now, she had been, her lawyer, legal team had been trying to stay out of jail during the case for extradition and stay at a psychiatric hospital. But she, after this appearance, she's been transferred to Neve Terza Women's Prison in Rumla on Tuesday night. Duffy Ehrlich, an alleged victim of Leifa, said this is a very positive step forward.
And Shane, before I let you go, we want to end on something more positive. We just before Passover, celebrating Passover next week, and I saw in the AJN that Andreria is going to be in Israel. So if you're in Israel on April the 3rd to the 7th, going to Israel for Passover, you can see Andreria in Israel.
Yeah, that should be a treat if you're lucky enough. Rio said he's very excited about his first visit to Israel, and he said Israel is a small country but has contributed so many fantastic musicians to the worldwide art scene, and he can't wait to play in front of an Israeli audience.
Shane Dziatnik, senior journalist at Australian Jewish News. Chag Sameach. Thank you very much.